Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Welcome to Freeside, everybody. Myself and Joe are here. We are, Joe's just giving me some fruit pastilles. We are going to talk about, we've had a huge reaction before we go into what we're going to talk about today. We had a huge reaction to last week's podcast, to the Shooting the Rapids documentary, which we talked about, the BBC program, how the BBC began. And we put up a lot of links. Joe put up a lot of links on his Twitter about that, and it really does seem to be something that people are curious and interested about. And we're going to maybe talk about something, you know, something interesting, that the way things are developing in the north. But before we do that, Joe, I'm going to just ask you the big question.
What is Dion Fanning?
What is
the point of Dion?
Well, that's a different question. That's a question I ask myself several times an hour.
I'm going to do a GoFundMe page for Dion.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think's happening with the Kate Middleton picture?
it's that sort of opium for the masses.
Yeah, well.
And it's what's happened to our media as well, to a very large extent. I mean,
you know, that's all very well, but somebody did something to that picture and people want to know what it was. You can talk about, you can have your highfalutin ideas, but ultimately...
When I say it would be a matter of complete indifference to me, higher self and Prince Edward conduct their lives.
Prince William. Maybe you're onto something. So let's get this straight here. You are saying here today that you think there's something going on between Kate Middleton and Prince Edward.
We're in a situation in Ireland where the media are pursuing a line that has nothing to do with what the people of Ireland think in relation to conflicts. So, for example, the Gaza conflict. And, you know, we have lived in a society where it was embarrassing and, apart from that, unlawful to tell the truth about what was happening in the north. And we've talked before about that sort of level of censorship and how serious journalism, honest, fearless, serious journalism, let the dice fall where it may, has been replaced with this sort of dross. And, you know, you talk about Kate Middleton and, you know, people fixated with this stuff. And you see, for example, Andrew Little Kitten Strimble, as I call him. He is given a documentary on the north by RTE because they know It will be a little kittens documentary. It will be harmless. It will be nice. It will assiduously avoid the truth. You know, it will be a feel-good little kitten up a tree rescued by lovely Protestant and Catholic firemen who sometimes even talk to each other and, you know, drink cocoa in the evening, et cetera, you know. And meanwhile, whenever Lancome won the Album of the Year in the RTÉ Choice Awards and dedicated their victory to the people of Gaza and talked about the need for an urgent ceasefire and about the genocide that's quite plainly being committed, RTÉ cut the speech entirely from their television broadcast. And that's what's wrong with the fixation with Kate Middleton, etc. Because what that does is that it distracts, it helps as part of that cosy media line to distract people from the reality of their lives. And it's part of the dishonesty that has taken hold of our public broadcaster, as it has, you know, many, many countries in the world, you know, so...
I think on Andrew Trimble, I think it's, you know, it's, you know, it is his truth. I know what you, I think it's
really Andrew.
He is a lovely man.
Andrew,
a lovely,
Protestant
lovely man.
And you played rugby for him. Well, I love Catholics and Protestants. Oh, and, you it's know, good. Really, yeah. I mean, Andrew.
But it's his
experience. Andrew's lived experience is the elitist, unthreatening lived experience, you know. It's, if you like, the Irish Unionist.
But you can't.
Experience.
But you can't just, because it is his experience. We talk a lot on this podcast about, you know, what the experience was, and then when somebody comes along and says, "This is my experience," you can't then say.
You teach your kids to tell the truth.
Well, you can't.
Know,
hold
honest.
On a second. You can't
what
say,
is,
Joe. You can't be finished this point. You can't say that that point of view is not valid because it doesn't. It, you know, your truth doesn't. Doesn't resonate with me and what my truth was.
The truth is uncomfortable. The truth is real and unchallenging, and it's something that's very, very, very precious. And only by getting to the truth can we change society. Only by our media being fearless and honest about how they report the world around it, you know, can we advance as a society. You know, the alternative is let's commission Andrew, little right. Kittens Trimble, to do a programme about Northern Ireland that's entirely uncontroversial, that doesn't teach anyone anything, but it's essentially feel-good mood music. It's not real, it doesn't assist anyone, but it passes a harmless hour or two on RTÉ, and people say, which is probably right, isn't he a lovely fella?
You know, the world needs lovely fellas.
You're a lovely fella.
I don't know about that. That's, yeah. You know,
I think. And so this is what led to, I mean, this was what came from the systematic censorship of the Northern View down here. You know, the systematic censorship of BBC Northern Ireland that we've been talking about. And all of that, you know, from BBC Northern Ireland banning the use of the word Catholic in 1964 on the airwaves so that you couldn't say, for example, well, you know, the Catholic ghetto of... you know, the Bogside or the Brandywell, but you could say ghetto areas of here, as long as you didn't denote them one way or the other, because that was a way of censoring the truth. And in the same way, that's what we've seen, you know, as Brian Hanley talked about in his famous book, you know, the textbooks were expunged of any mention of the new IRA. The old IRA were the glorious IRA, the new IRA weren't. And all of these things perpetuate the problem, because until you look honestly at the problem, you can't solve it. Until, for example, the DUP ultimately gave up the fantasy, you know, the sectarian fantasy that has enabled them for 50 years. We were unable to have a return to Stormont. We were unable to begin the process of real politic, you know. I mean, you talk about when we talked about the BBC and the censorship in the BBC, I say we did get a huge reaction from Irish American, from people here. I mean, I was in the forecourts this morning. Two or three different council came up to me and said, I cannot believe, you know, know, some of the stuff, the clips in particular, about the censorship. You know, we didn't know anything about that. And the reason that they didn't know anything about that was because it offended against the establishment line. And any media that toes the establishment line, as, for example, RTE does, is doing a great disservice to all of us. I mean, Jerome Quinn tells a very famous story about the BBC. You know, he came in, you see, and he was working. He was the first person to work, you know, as a GAA correspondent. And he applied around about sort of the late 80s, early 90s, to be the first Catholic radio producer in the BBC NI. And it was, the job had come up because the BBC, under huge pressure from all quarters, had initiated the Sunday GA radio show. Now, it was very short, but I mean, it was groundbreaking. And Joy Williams was the director then, no doubt full of joy. And needless to say, Jerome didn't get the job, but it was given to a chap from the Bangor Spectator who didn't know anything about the GA, right? And he famously, and this passed into folklore, he famously rang Croke Park on his first day. He was just, you know, ring Croke Park, find out about that, say hello. Come and look, Luckless Gael. And he said, can you put me on to somebody who speaks English?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure he felt, you know, he felt a bit of panic, probably, you know, took hold at that moment.
But you see, and you're absolutely right. And Jerome always said that he was a lovely fella, yeah. But he genuinely had no idea of this enemy territory because it had been expunged, because it was being kept away from the public. And I mean, Liam McDowell, he was a well-known radio reporter, and he was sent, once they had sort of started to gather pace and they were now starting, you know, to do a bit of GAA, he was sent to cover a Hogan Cup final. And the Ulster champions lost to Colastia Creastree, the famous footballing college. And when he began reading his report down the telephone line, Joy Williams stopped him and said, what's that you're saying? He's so classy. What does that mean? He said, oh, that's the Cork school's name in English. You know, she said, what's the English? He said, Christ the King. Well, can't you just say that? She said, no one's going to understand that other thing. And, you know, as Jerome put it, you know, that everybody in the BBC was called Dave or Jill. And their parents had all worked in the BBC. And there were no Catholics about the place, yeah. As you see in the when the BBC began documentary, unless they were compliant Catholics, you know, Catholics who would, you know, keep their heads down, you know, as it's like the Bill Cosby Blacks, you know, keep their head down, you know. I mean, one of the stories that Jerome tells is, you know, because he was useful. In the sense that he knew, I mean, he had an encyclopedic knowledge of the GAA. I mean, that was his, they were his people, his community, his passion, you know. And he said, like, he would, you know, somebody would shout over to him, you know, during the voice, which colour are Tyrone, Jerome? This is in the BBC, in front of the screens. Which colour is Tyrone? You know, like, Jesus.
I mentioned it before, but when you talk about that, the book Trespasses, which I meant to actually bring in for you today, the Louise Kennedy book is fantastic. It's a novel, but I mentioned it a few weeks ago, and it's a really, really great book on the Northern Ireland in the 70s, and that sense of you know, Catholics being alien. Like, there's a amazing set pieces in it. Like, you know, one of the main characters is a kind of liberal, you know, unionist barrister. Who is aware of what is, you know, how the system is just going wrong. Yeah. But he's having an affair with a Catholic girl, and, you know, he brings her to a party which is full of, you know, Protestant people, and, like, you know, the only one other Catholic is the person there who's doing the kind of cooking. And, you know, they kind of talk to each other, you know, they recognize each other, and it's just that it's a really great snapshot of what you're talking about, that sense of you know, people being kind of a curiosity almost. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
It's like, I mean, this is where I come back to it, you know. I mean, people in my community would not recognize Andrew Trimble's portrayal of the North because his portrayal of the North is necessarily, you know, a quite detached, condescending one that comes from the elite level of society there, which the elite level of any society doesn't really change. You know, the elite level of the private schools, the rugby set up in the North, all of that. I mean, I have no problem with any of that. You know, when I go to Ravenhill, I enjoy Ulster rugby matches. No problem whatsoever. But my point is that it's the sugary, unreal portrayal of things. And that has largely persisted. I mean, the BBC documentary about the North couldn't be aired until now.
Hmm.
I mean, that was never aired until now.
Yeah.
I mean, and all that priceless footage, which would have educated people. I mean, as Dennis Toohey said, or was it Martin Bell, who said, you know, and the problem with it was then that the people of the United Kingdom outside of the North were completely ignorant about what was going on. Now, that helped when you had a very dirty war, whenever you had, you know, judge alone courts whose job was simply to do a hatchet job and convict people on confessions. You know, the old idea, you know, the old slogans that went up on the walls in Belfast, you know, help the RUC beat yourself up. And, you know, voice coming out with multiple injuries, you know, so the Birmingham Six, the Guildford Four, all of those things were facilitated by the false presentation of the truth. And, you know, all of a sudden, we see the shoots of the fruits of the truth. So all of a sudden, you know, Michelle O'Neill's on the Shankill Road having tea with, you know, the ladies of the Shankill Road. You know, she's at the Police Service of Northern Ireland's graduation ceremony, clapping as the new graduates throw up their caps in the air. She's at Windsor Park for the recent Northern Ireland Ladies International against Montenegro, standing respectfully for God Save the King, as did the Uachtarin of the GAA, Orlais Burns, presenting the joint First Minister, Emma Little Pengally, whose dad was a loyalist gun runner, with an arm mask off and telling her that the orange suited her. Jolly selfies and tweets. And, you know, I cannot overestimate the power of these symbols. You know, I mean, it's all right at the elite level, the Irish rugby level, Andrew Trimble, all of that stuff. You know, that's a different world. Emma Little Pengally coming to St. Paul's on the Shaw's Road in the middle of West Belfast. And for anybody who doesn't know where St. Paul's is in the Shaw's Road, I mean, that was a sort of a murder triangle up there during the Troubles. So you've got Casement Park on the Andersonstown Road. If you were driving from the city towards the country, right, parallel to the M1 motorway, the M2 motorway, sorry, you'll drive past Andersonstown Road on your left-hand side, and now you're coming into what were real Catholic ghetto areas, where the GA was absolutely the lifeblood. St. Paul's, Rossa Park right beside it. You know, you've got six GA clubs within a sort of a mile vicinity. You know, and there's St. Paul's in the heart of the Shaw's Road, and Emma Little Pengally with a hurl in her hand on the St. Paul's pitch. I mean, those are extraordinary for people from my community.
And let's talk about that, because when
somebody said, you know, her father supplied very different type of weapons. I mean, you used to go up to St. Paul's. Okay. And there were security kids there. The boys were on the doors. You know, generally sort of accepted that they were with the provisionals. They had very, very careful security because of assassinations of people coming from GA clubs. You had to be buzzed through the security gates. I mean, once I can remember, Down played Tyrone in an Ulster Championship match in Casement Park, when Casement Park was in its pomp. Huge crowd. And I went to the game. I maybe just had retired from county football. Very drunk with Terry McGrudden and boys like that. Went on the rampage. And it came to about maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it was the night before the 12th. It was the 11th night. And I was in a front garden with a lot of others up off the Shaws Road, socialising, and a 4x4 pulled up. The four boys got out. Joe, it's your home time, son. And the provost drove me home, brought me back over to South Belfast, dropped me off. Son.
Why?
They would have taken the view, look, he's up here now, we need to look after him, right, and make sure he's safe. The last thing we want is an incident involving him. We'll drop him home.
Right.
And I was dropped home by the provost.
And were you like, I'm having a great time, leave me alone?
What are you going to do? Like, you know,
I'm all right here, lads.
Just one more drink.
Just one more.
I'm in the middle of a chat up. Come on.
Just about to finish a story.
I mean, my great friend Terry McCrudden tells a great story about himself and Geroid Adams, Terry's son, actually running like 17, 18 years of age. And they were out in the hunting lodge or something like that up in West Belfast. And they were chatting up two girls from the training college from St. Mary's, you see. And two real good looking girls. The wife said, you know, and Terry said, you know, everything going well. And one of them started to talk about Sinn Féin and the IRA. And, you know, we didn't let on, you know, we didn't say anything. And she started talking about that and asked for that fucking Gerry Adams, a murderer, a fucking devil incarnate, you see. And we just let it slide, you know, kept straight faces. And this went on. You know, she finished her diatribe. And it was all kissy kissy, and then, you know, would you girls like to come up, you know, for a drink up to my house, you know, up to Geroid's, you see. Oh, great, you know, where he's, oh, yes, we're just up in the Glen Road, you see. They go anyway. They arrive at the security gates. Bzzz. All right, Geroid, Carol, who's that you've got your way there, son? He said, oh, what's your name? He said, what? In through the first security gate, another one in through the second security gate, you see, around the back, into the kitchen. Bill Clinton with Gerry Adams, Nelson Mandela with Gerry Adams, Tony Blair with Gerry Adams. Geroid flung up at the door and said, girls, welcome to hell. and of course, it'll be all in great humour and all that. But that's him. You know, St. Paul's were Emma Little Pengelly, do not underestimate the power of that. And I said a few weeks ago that I don't believe there's a sectarian bone in Emma's body. And she is, well, I suppose in a way, Geoffrey Donaldson felt it was too, that's moving the dial too far for him at the moment, but knew that Emma would have no trouble with it. And you see how she's conducted herself since she's become joint first minister. And I think it's been transformational.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Already.
Well, and is that, because like when you talk about it, it's interesting this, if you want to contrast it with Andrew Trimble's, what you call sugary kind of kitten stuff.
Yeah.
But yet symbolism has such power and has such an effect.
Absolutely.
So like you would distinguish her gestures, going to a GA club, playing camogie, those kind of things. You wouldn't see that as fluff or...
No, that's not sugar.
No,
that's
why not?
That's like Francois Pienaar being embraced by Nelson Mandela. Yeah. Nelson Mandela wearing, you know, what was a symbol of white supremacy, the South African rugby shirt. That's telling everyone, you know, in a very potent way, this is over. Mm. This is over. And we're getting on now, and we're going to get on regardless of your religion, where you're from, regardless of what's been said in the past. You know what I mean? We lived in a society where, and I think we talked about this, where the Minister for Home Affairs of the old Stormont was ordered, the order came down from the British government that the American High Command wanted a premises for their soldiers to worship. US Marines stationed in the north, all over the north, where they were stationed just outside Dungiven on the Benedy Glen. And the only place he could source that was convenient was a disused Orange Hall. And he sent a memo saying to his colleagues in Parliament, which was leaked, don't worry, whenever they're finished and go home, we'll fumigate the place. You know, and now we've got, you know, the Joint First Minister at St. Paul's playing hurling, you know, and we've got, I mean, just think of how far we have moved, that she came and spoke so warmly about the GA and its community benefits.
And on the same day, Paul Given, the education minister, was visiting a Gael school in Tyrone.
We'll come to that in Dungannon, like, which would have been sort of the heart of Republican sort of West Tyrone. I mean, don't forget that it's not long ago at all that Sammy Wilson coined the phrase the GA or the IRA at play.
Yeah.
And that was the phrase in every DUP person's lips. And that demonised the GA in the Protestant community. And that meant that, you know, assassinations of GA members was fine because they're all in the IRA. It's like Israel. You know, all the Gazans, they're all in Hamas.
Mm.
You know, I mean, none of them can be trusted. And that propaganda meant that there was open season on us. You know, and John Finucan, who's going to be coming into us, you know, he very narrowly escaped assassination once.
Mm.
But his teammate, one of his beloved teammates in the St. Enda's team in North Belfast, was assassinated that same night. And these sorts of stories were far too commonplace, you know. I mean, and the DUP attacks were constant, you know. I mean, Paul Given coming to the Gael School of Arua in Dungannon, as you say, like, that is...
Mm.
That would have been unheard of. I mean, and you know, he said, I took a note of what he said. He said, the Irish language is for all of us. As education minister, I said from day one I'd be a minister of education for everybody in Northern Ireland across all of our sectors. But more than that, this wasn't that sort of mealy-mouthed. It's very fulsome. And that includes the Irish media. I think it's important for me to be here today to send out that message that I will be a minister for the Irish language. When you look at the history of the Irish language, I really collapsed when he said this. It was Presbyterians that came from Scotland who kept the language alive. And I think it's important we remember the language is not unique to one particular community in Northern Ireland. There's value right across our community. Think even of the townlands and the names of our places of Estepas. He could have been one of the leaders of the Gael School movement. A steep history in the Irish language. So it's very important politically that we say that the Irish language should not be something that is politicised. To which the only reaction can be, what the actual fuck? That is something I believe can be a shared language for everybody in Northern Ireland. Well, in 2016, Paul Given was the Minister for Education. And in one of the meanest, most contemptuous, sectarian decisions of the modern era, he gleefully axed the Leafa grant, which was £50,000, a trifle. But what that £50,000 was that it sent about 60 kids from impoverished areas to the Gaeltacht. Gave them a lifeline, gave their families a lifeline, gave their families a sense of pride. These kids going off, mixing with everyone else, learning the Irish language, you know, powering on in school. And he axed it, you know. And now here he is, Irish dancing with the principal of the Aroa Gael School in Dungannon, you know, like.
Somebody said, like Graham Norton in the caravan and Father Ted, you know, demonstrating his nifty footwork, you know.
Well, it's funny because you talk about, you know, the Irish language, and I interviewed for The Currency, I interviewed Eamon Malley, who's got his memoir out, and he talked about Emma Little Pengelly. And he did say, during COVID, he had this sort of poetry platform where he got people to send in poems and recite poems, and he put them out on Twitter. And he said, you know, she sent him like an Irish, like she sent him an Irish poet. The day he contacted her, she came back immediately reciting a poem from an Irish poet, whose name now escapes me, but, you know, Irish language poet. And he said, you know, she is one of the most cross-culturally aware people, you know, within the DUP. Like, there is no...
Well, you see,
and as you say, there isn't a sectarian bone in her body.
Well, that's right. And she came to the bar, you see, and the bar wouldn't wear it anymore. Like, the old stylers, like, you know, Tim Alistair, who is, as I understand it, now the last surviving Alistairosaurus. We'll come back to him. But, you know, he left the bar before the sort of modern era, and that stuff would just not be acceptable now. You know, people like Lord Weir, etc., who've left the bar. Like, it just would not be acceptable. I mean, and, you know, we've talked before about these barriers of ignorance are only broken down by honesty, and unflinching honesty. You know, you look at the Irish language marches, you know, the absolutely determined pursuit of Gael skulls across the north. I mean, and they're everywhere in the north now. I mean, the man skull in Dungiven, you know, our boys were in the All Ireland senior colleges hurling semi final against the Galway school champions a few weeks ago. It's quite extraordinary, you know, 400 pupils now in no time whatsoever. But it was all of that protest, all of that refusal to accept being second class citizens, you know, all of that. You know, and with all of the demonization of us that was continuing, that brought us to this moment. And of course now, you know, it has required an enormous transformation on the part of the leaders of the DUP, you know, and you've got to give them tremendous credit. I mean, the principal of the Aroa school, Mona Doherty, she, it was very funny, you know, after she had danced with Paul, and it was very entertaining and enjoyable. And Paul can handle himself in company. He's very good personality.
God bless him.
You know. But you can harness that in a good way.
Yeah, no, you can.
Or you can choose to go down the sectarian route. Mm. And I say that, you know, that like a while lot of these people were brought up, well, they were all brought up in very sectarian communities where that was the constant message. And so they were brainwashed. You know, we look, for example, at Israeli people who live in Israel, unself-consciously speaking in a way that's absolutely horrific. And we know that many of these people are people who would believe themselves to be a very strong moral character, very devout, you know, who react, and they react hysterically when they're criticised, because their lived reality is the brainwashing, the propaganda, all of that. That's what they grew up with. So I've got to give the DUP people tremendous credit for this. But Moya said, you know, she said, look, he's a great sport. And then when they finished the dancing, she said, well, you know, Minister, you're not great at the dancing, but we have something that might suit you a lot better now. We've arranged a march. So the kids, the wee band marched around. And, you know, now, in fairness to Paul, he didn't shout, fuck the Pope, on the march.
Again.
But
you,
know, you could see
that shows somebody who can handle themselves in company.
You could see he was restraining him. It's a natural thing. Fuck the Pope! Fuck the Pope! There's a brilliant
snippet in the BBC documentary of a 12th of July march in the Shankill. And there's a wee girl, she's about six, she's wearing a wee frock. And, you know, it's all black and white. And it's maybe, I don't know, it would be maybe 67, 66, something like that. And as she's going past the camera, she just shouts, "Fuck the pump!" And her not the size of two good turf. So, I mean, as Moya said, look, I think, she said, he has enjoyed the visit. He was very good at the Killie swing, and I think he really enjoyed the Killie dancing. But more importantly, she says, it gives us great hope for the future moving forward in a new type of politics here. And, you know, that's, I mean, it's enormous to see these things. And we know that there are people in the DUP that are very uneasy about all of this. But this is the transition that has to happen.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.